Let us pray. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In our gospel reading today, Peter asks a perfectly valid question. It's the kind of question that I ask all the time. It's a recognition of what I'm being taught, what's being asked of me, and a request for clarification so that I can fulfill that request conscientiously and completely. Peter wants to do the right thing. So Peter asks Jesus, "If another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive?" Peter knows that he should forgive. And Peter knows that forgiving is hard. So Peter wants to put some parameters around this thing to make sure it's something that he can live up to, something he can achieve. Or you might say Peter is trying to limit his exposure to the risks of forgiveness. After all, you can't just go on forgiving forever, can you? So Jesus responds, as Jesus does, with a story, a parable. And as they often are, it's a funny story. It's a poignant story. Jesus tells a crazy story that's laughable because it's so bizarre that nobody could mistake it for actual events. A king, says Jesus, decides to settle accounts, and one of his servants owes him 10,000 talents. Now, if you look in the footnote in your Bible, it'll tell you how to calculate it. And I did the calculations, and if the minimum wage in New Jersey this year is $11, then 10,000 talents is about $5 billion. Billion with a B, like boy, or billion. It's actually that much. This is nation-state kind of debt, not a car loan or mortgage. And how much did this servant end up paying in the end? Not one dime. Surely out of those billions, he had some left, some assets. But he was forgiven everything. And yet this borrower, himself freshly forgiven, literally leaves the room and begins to choke another servant who owes him $10,000. Not even a rounding error on his own debt. There's something sociopathic going on here. Now, Peter may have felt wronged like the king, right? And so he wants a stop loss clause in the command to forgive. He wants a limit to forgiveness. And Jesus' answer is frustratingly clear. The example of the king is to forgive everything. Now we, the readers, we know who Peter is. We know that Peter is the one who will deny Jesus three times the night before the crucifixion. We know that when Jesus could have used some support, Peter was willing to swear and to curse and to lie in order to look after his own hide. We know that Peter had to be invited back into relationship with Jesus three times. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Even at this point, Peter already owed a greater debt than he knew. And his debt was only going to continue to grow. Jesus knew this. Yet, the king had already decided to forgive an unimaginable debt for Peter. This is the standard. The example of forgiveness. This is what Peter was called to follow. Now, this parable is not one that invites me to feel easy or content with my own spiritual maturity. This parable is not one that makes me feel good and proud of my own spiritual achievements. Because when Peter, right, the apostle, the great saint, who had the benefit of Jesus' personal company and teaching for years, when Peter is compared to someone who owes an unimaginable debt, where does that leave me? And so it's a matter of psychological safety for me to carefully avoid noticing or thinking about the ways that I have sinned against God and against other people, and especially against those whom I love the most. Thinking about such things would just be too hard. But on the other hand, it's not so difficult to think about those who have sinned against me, who have wronged me in one way or another. Dwelling on those things, that's a lot easier. So Jesus' story offers me some perspective. Jesus offers me some encouragement to face up to the realities of my life, to see how the scales are truly balanced, and to make some choices. To make some choices about exactly how fastidious I want to be about demanding justice for myself. Peter wanted to limit forgiveness. He didn't realize, he had no clue about how big his own need really was. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew that forgiveness is a serious business. Jesus knew that the forgiveness that God offers is a forgiveness without limits. Jesus knew that God's forgiveness was of a magnitude that could only be expressed by crucifixion. God's utter giving of God's whole self for the welfare of a people who are largely unrepentant. There is no limit, no limit to which God will not go in order to forgive. And in the end, that's good news. Forgiveness is not, first of all, a demand, as Peter perceived it. Forgiveness is, first of all, a gift. Jesus knew that forgiveness can't be demanded. We are not, first of all, the givers of forgiveness, but the recipients of it. If forgiveness was the kind of thing you could count, if forgiveness had limits, then you and I, we might have reasons to worry. We might have reasons to fear looking into the mirror and counting our own failures. But Jesus used his own body to show that God would stop at nothing to reach us, that God's store of grace is beyond counting. So Jesus told Peter a parable that carried a big challenge. And it was only because Jesus made an even bigger promise that you and I can know for sure that we are never beyond the reach of God's grace, God's forgiveness. And it is only and always on that basis, that foundation, on that fact that we have been forgiven much. On that, we are invited to free ourselves by forgiving others.